Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, the English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, the producer and the co-host of the show is our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. the Red Fox Blogger. And the nickname tonight she's using, Love to Slay Trojan Horses. And Welcome, Kellen. That was a bit of a mouthful. I've got to apologise. I did have some technical issues. Once again, I couldn't get through. It was a wrong number. Kept saying wrong number, about half a dozen times. But I finally made it. I give a little prayer, said a little prayer, and the next time I called, I managed to get through. So I was starting to panic a little bit, as you do, Kel. You know, it gets. I think our listeners don't really understand that how we do tend to seem very calm and collect. But when we're just about to start a show and we get technical issues, running around like good and...
Jeff, tell me about
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
When I do my shows on RSB Radio, wow, I am into the opening music and I hear this, I'm sorry, your call has been dropped. It's like panic mode.
That's like
it's terrible.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Drives me absolutely batshit crazy. Oops. I could have used the F-bomb, but we don't want to get people too drunk too soon. But, Jeff, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm not too bad. As I said, speaking to Kel earlier, I'm just a little bit tired last couple of days. Now, I had a trip into town today, and took it out of me a little bit. But, it's just one of those things. But apart from that, yeah, it's all good, and I hope you are well, Kel, and I know you've been
quite
busy
well.
Early on. But I noticed we got a very busy studio this evening, and I see people there falling over each other, and my goodness me, oh, it's very, very busy this evening, isn't it, Kel? And do you know what?
Absolutely is.
I was going to say.
And you know what?
Yeah,
what
go
you,
on, Kel.
What do you know? What do you know?
What do you know? What do you say? What do you know?
What do you know? What? What?
What? I know something, and I heard the bell ringing, and of course, and then that was our very own Mr. Tim Burton, and our own Cat Strangler 101. He's got a new collar on. Did you see his new collar that he's got on tonight, Kel? It's glittering, it's shiny. My goodness me. Look
I
at
am proud
him.
To say, I am proud to say that I have seen that collar.
Well, you're looking very spry tonight, young man, must I say,
Hi, Tim.
Yes,
Tim.
Good evening, Kel, and good evening, Jeff. I hope you're both well. Yes, Kel has had a sneak preview of my new collar, and I have to say I'm really proud of it. Would you like to describe it for the ladies and gentlemen, Kel?
Ooh. Oh, yes, it's very, very lovely. It is pink, and it has that tiny little bell.
Pink! It's pink! It should have been blue, Kel. Well, Tim.
Well,
not a lot I can say about that.
Well,
you know what?
No, you see,
it's hot pink.
The thing is, Kel is being quite modest about it. She missed off the diamante decorations around the outside.
Funny, I was going to mention that, but which you did, Tim. You jumped in before I could say that. Yes, I did notice the diamond encrusted collar that you have there. And talk about a nice little bell. My ding-a-ling, my ding-a-ling. That reminds me of a song, Mr. Tim.
I do hope
are you
going
assuming
to turn
that
into
Tim
one of those
has
shows.
A ding-a-ling?
He certainly has got a ding-a-ling. And he's been dinging along as he come through the cat flap tonight, Kel.
That reminds me of that old song. Was that from the 1970s or
oh, I think it might
your ding-a-ling?
Yeah.
Who would have done that? Come on, guys. Someone in the... Chuck Berry, not Chuck Berry. But what's his name?
I can't remember. And I don't think I want to.
Ladies and gentlemen, come on, remind me, guys. You should sing My Ding-a-ling, My Ding-a-ling. I want you to play with my ding-a-ling. Come on, someone must know that.
Okay. I can't think who that is.
let's defer to the chat room. Can anybody remember that song? I think it was Stinger is here, and he says it was Chuck Berry, and it was from the late
1950s. Chuck Berry, see, I knew it was a Berry.
Yeah, that's right, and it was the 1950s, wasn't it, Kel, not the 1970s?
No, it was the 60s.
Am I right?
It wasn't 60s.
Right,
yeah, that's right. It was from the late 1950s, like Stanger pointed out for us in the chat room.
My goodness me. And it's funny how that song still reverberates around. You still hear it now and again, and it's quite...
Yeah, I heard it only 10 seconds ago on this very show,
you
Jeff.
Certainly did. So,
amazing coincidence.
It was pretty funny that
Tim has a ding-a-ling.
A ding-a-ling-a-ling. And it was ringing as good as he comes through the cat flap. My goodness,
like.
Me, it isn't even Comedy Central time, Tim. What we like.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the EDL radio show, where the preamble is nothing but fun and frolic, and you never know what you're going to discover within the first 20 minutes of the program.
We all really go where bull men
never gone before.
Yes. God, dear idea.
Oh, my goodness. But also, I've noticed we've got a very, very busy studio this evening, haven't we, guys? We certainly have.
And Jeff?
Yes,
absolutely.
Jill.
Introduce the new regular panelist on the East ED. Oh, God, Jeff, I nearly did it again. East
English Defence League Radio.
Introduce
show.
The latest regular panelist on EDL Radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman is Mr. Agador, and he's become quite a good part of our panel team that we've had, and so I thought I'd pass the information along to Mr. Agador to say that he has got, we look forward to him being a part of our panel officially. So there you go, your promotion, buddy. So God bless you, and thank you very much for being a part of our crazy team, like our and Tim, our crazy team.
Hey, you're the only one who's crazy.
I know.
I want to thank you for that.
And it rubs off, doesn't it, Tim?
Yes, well, you don't
I want to thank
to be
you for
crazy
that, Jeff.
To work, yeah.
Oh, but
sorry,
it helps.
Go on, I can do.
Oh, no. You don't have to be crazy, but it helps. I want to thank you, Jeff, for that very kind welcome. And I want to apologize in advance to anyone I might offend, because I'm bound to offend someone. So, just stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's quite obvious that we're going to offend someone. So we like to keep them up to speed. By the end of the show, if you haven't been offended by something we said, well, you know, then we've been doing something wrong, or there's people out there that enjoys being offended. I don't know. It's topical talking to talk about, isn't it? So,
that's
but anyway,
right.
It's great to have you a part of our team, Agador. You know, you bring so much to our round table, isn't it, Tim and Kel? A round table that we've got here. How nice round table.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a great round table, too, because we actually let a cat jump up on the table. I mean, how many people do that?
Oh, I try to shoo that thing off because it's not catching my mouse.
Hey, Kel, look. Tim, just watch the claws, mate. I've been polishing this table today.
Well, of course, you've reminded me. We were urgently, we were awaiting the next episode in the Mouse Saga.
Well, the mouse has still been elusive. It has bypassed all my traps. I am getting to the point now where I'm going to go out and put rat poison down. And ladies and gentlemen, want to convey to you that I am a humanitarian, a lover of animals, except when it comes to certain cat stranglers 101 who drive me absolutely crazy with their erudite opinions and viewpoints. But I swear, I have the mouse from hell in my house. I have the mouse from hell. This thing is Mo Mouse. This is
Mo the Mouse.
It is.
Yes.
It is eluding all of my traps. I'm trying to catch it humanely, but I might have to take more.
Well, it's probably been one of these terrorist
memes.
Mouse terrorist camps, Cal. He's learned how to evade and all that, like, you know.
It's eating my tinfoil.
Well, you know what you need to do, Cal.
It's me.
You know what you need to do, Cal. You need to give Danger Mouse a call. You know, get him in Penfold out there.
Hagador.
And of course,
he'll sort it out.
Squirrel could be on the case, couldn't he?
Yeah, there you go. You can watch the outside.
Well, you know what? Maybe somebody has a solution. The final, you know, the final.
No. We do not want to go there.
The final solution.
Yeah, I know. I know. I had to rein myself
the
in.
The final
right
solution
quick.
Towards that mouse problem. Yeah.
We have.
But
the mouse must go.
Oh,
be quiet. I'm so editing this show later. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you. My apologies. But
we have days of making
maybe,
you squeak.
Maybe Tommy English has some help to offer me to get rid of this mouse from hell in my house. And hi, Tommy. How are you tonight?
Hey,
Tommy.
When I called and heard the words my ding-a-ling, I thought, oh, God, I think I called the wrong number. And basically, Jeff singing, guys, that was actually better than his England Till I Die.
Oh, God.
My goodness me. Oh, one does one's best, doesn't one?
Tommy.
Oh, nice.
Okay, sorry, Doug.
Let me do that again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Right, so
but
I understand
yeah.
that we're discussing final solution for mice. So what I suggest is that you invade... obviously one of the neighbouring mouse traps and just annex it. Just keep heading. You know, as Tim said, we have ways to make you squeak, yeah. So we are the masters now, eh? What you need, Kel, is a German cat.
Yes, they're known to be
amongst the most efficient cats in Europe.
There you go.
That's right.
Yes, almost as quick as their pansies. I can just imagine it now in like a few weeks' time we're doing the radio show and Kel say, oh, guys, come meet my new cat. Hans, come and see here, bitte.
Schnell.
Schnell.
Oh, my one cat was named Cassie. And that's a German name.
Well, that's original, Kel. It's like I used to have a hamster, and in a fit of originality, I called him Hammy. So, you know, I reckon he would have got on well with your cat.
I have a rabbit called Infidel.
Well, that's not original.
Ah, there you go.
You might have called him Rabbi or something. You know, just to fit in with the hamster and cat themed originality stakes that we're setting up here.
Well, but I never named the rabbit. Ironically, my younger sister named the rabbit. Well, basically, it's like I could have called my cat Pussy.
Well, that's getting
oh,
close.
God.
What do you call your
okay,
pussy?
Okay, can we move into the topic at hand?
Hey, you don't want me to start talking about more or less recent Facebook postings I've seen.
Agador, you are terrible, terribly wonderful, but terrible. But ladies and gentlemen, we are moving into the topic that we have highlighted, and this involves the Trojan horse. And this is in Birmingham, the UK schools. There is an investigation, and it's gaining momentum. And am rather flabbergasted by this, in that the Trojan Horse investigation into alleged hardline Islamist takeover of Birmingham, UK schools, is on its way. Now, I am going to let Tim Burton take this over, because I am referring to his article, which was published in Brenner Brief this week. Tim?
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Kel. Well, for those of our listeners who don't know about this story, I'll give you a brief summary. A little while back, a letter was forwarded to the authorities, and it was alleged to have come from somebody in Birmingham, and it was sent to somebody in Bradford, and it referred to a plan to take over specifically schools in Birmingham by forcing out the non-Muslim teachers, not all at once, but gradually and in a strategic manner, forcing out the non-Muslim teachers, head teachers and education governors, and gradually replacing them with Muslim hardliner teachers, head teachers and governors. The letter was written in such a way that it wasn't immediately apparent whether or not it was a hoax. But nevertheless, the Education Secretary, Michael Gove, very wisely, in my view, decided to proceed along the lines that it might not be a hoax, and he ordered an investigation. And this was termed the Trojan Horse investigation because of the stealthy nature, the infiltration that was implied in the letter that was sent. Now, I actually started writing about this to an online magazine last week as the story unfolded, because various things happened during the course of last week which added to the story and made it more interesting. But that was the run-up to my initial article, that there had been this letter and that Michael Gove, the Education Secretary, had initiated an investigation based on this letter. Well, as you can imagine, that rather set the cat amongst the pigeons, because various people in Birmingham did not like the thought that their activities might come under the spotlight, and we had some very interesting comments right in the early stages of the operation, specifically from one of the governors of the schools involved, because initially this investigation was only going to be focused on one school, which was Park View School in Birmingham, and the governor there, or one of the governors there, was a gentleman called Tahir Alam. Now, for those of you who don't know much about Tahir Alam, I'm just going to see if I can bring something up just to drop into the chat room while I'm talking. He's quite active in the Muslim Council of Britain, and he could, I suppose, depending on who you're talking to, he could be described as a somewhat hardline Islamist. Good grief, why am I having trouble with getting my tongue around that? I don't normally have any trouble with getting my tongue around things, but we'll leave that to another day. No, pack it in, Jeff, pack it in. I'm not having that. Come on, pack it in.
Pack it in?
Yeah, pack it in.
I've not had that for a while.
No, well, all right. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, Tahir Alam was one of the governors of this school. And as it transpired, as the investigation widened, because it became apparent, when this letter came out, what we found was that all sorts of people came forward, parents, teachers, pupils came forward, and they had between them, there were about 200 separate complaints made to the Education Secretary, all of which were basically reinforcing the contents of the letter, as if to say, yeah, this is really happening, and we didn't like to say anything beforehand because we were afraid of being stigmatized or marginalized in some way. But now that the letter has been made public, we'd like to come forward and express our concerns as well. So there were 200 or more than 200 of these concerns, and they didn't just, interestingly enough, they didn't just focus on the one school, Parkview School. They focused on a number of schools in the Birmingham area, and the investigation was widened to about 25 schools. Now that was the initial thing that happened once this letter became public. People started coming forward because, as we've talked about on this show before, and I've often said that in the education sector, as in some other sectors in the UK, to speak out about this kind of thing can be an instant career killer, certainly for a teacher. If you speak out against Islamization in any way, you can very quickly find yourself out of a job. And indeed, as the investigations unfolded, we see that that is exactly what has happened to some teachers who tried to stand up to an encroaching tide of Islamization in the education sector. So that's what we were founding. But there have been a number of developments during the course of the week, which I can expand upon in due course. But I think, having given you a little bit of background at this point, I'll stop here and turn the microphone back to Jeff. And ask him if he'd like to ask.
Even to...
yes, yeah. And ask him if he would like to bring somebody else in to comment.
Kel, I'm going to pass it to you because I've got my views and they're very similar to probably to Tim. But I'd like to hear your view, Kel, of what's been going. It's just not Tim. We've got to expand a little bit. This just isn't happening in Birmingham, even though this is your turf where you live, but this is it's opened it up in cities like Bradford and other towns like that, isn't it? It's really opened worms.
The initial investigation was centred on Birmingham because that's where the implication was in this particular letter, but of course we are well aware that Muslims will use every opportunity to expand their influence wherever they can. So very early on, I made a prediction that Birmingham wasn't going to be the only place. And I'm sure in due course, the investigation is going to be widened to other schools in other cities. And I think although I haven't got a specific article to give you, I think they're certainly going to be looking at schools in Bradford, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're looking at other schools in the Midlands and north of England as a result of this. But the initial investigation was based in Birmingham, and the implications, as I say, were that various schools were being corrupted, for want of a better word, by the influence of hardline Islamists various...
Use that word indoctrinated, because that is exactly schools.
Not exactly indoctrinated. The idea was that they would gain control of key positions within the educational sector and then use those positions to increase Muslim influence. And that might include... radicalization, it might include indoctrination of the pupils, but specifically what they were referring to were the manipulation of the school curricula in order to exclude or to minimize subjects that might be deemed non-Islamic, such as teaching about human reproduction in biology. That was an obvious one. Sex education in general. And evolution, for example, the theory of evolution was going to be marginalised, pupils were in fact being told, well, yes, we have to include the Darwinian theory of evolution as part of the GCSE module, but it isn't what we really believe. I mean, you don't want a teacher saying that kind of thing.
Not really.
A good teacher should really be presenting things in a much more objective manner. But I mean, I'm just giving you those as examples. And of course, we all know about the introduction of halal food in schools, about that's being forced on, or has been forced on, Birmingham school children, whether they like it or not. And woe betide any member of staff who inadvertently dishes up a plate of non-halal food.
Yeah, they lose their jobs, don't they, Jim?
There has been instances of people losing their jobs over that. So that's what we're talking about. We're also talking about the marginalisation of non-Muslim teachers, head teachers and governors, to the point where they're excluded from meetings, they're pushed to the sidelines so that they can't take effective roles in the work they're supposed to do. One head teacher resigned because she was just being missed out of the loop on every important meeting and just couldn't.
Yeah,
she was losing control of her own school. Sorry?
Yeah, I saw that story, that lady.
Yeah, that's right.
She'd been a head teacher for a long time, hadn't she, too?
Yeah, that's right. 15,
so
20 years.
This is what
like
we
that.
Find, though, guys. But, Tim, I'd like to thank you very much for explaining exactly the Trojan horse syndrome, which it is basically is something that we've been talking about on the show. We've been talking about what's been going on in the schools for such a long, long time. You know, the worry, the concerns we have as, you know, our grandchildren going to the schools and, you know, this thing's been going on for such a long time. It does seem now we are seeing some movement in maybe some common sense actually taking shape. But as you say, it's like anything. This country and a lot of other European countries, globally, this is a global jihad in every different aspect that you can possibly think, in the high positions of police, you know, police commissioners, you know, the indoctrination Tim says it's not quite exactly an indoctrination, but the things that's been going on in the schools. This is total war, isn't it, Tim? This is a war against our civilization. They're trying to change it to some medieval sort of dark age that we won't want no part of, whether they like it or not. And as I say, common sense is starting to take shape. Thank you, God. You know, I do believe in the end someone's got to make a stand, and where these letters come out and come to the forefront, so be it, Tim. It's what should have been happening for a very long time, what's been going on in the schools. But I'd also like to pass that over to Kel. Kel, your views looking in of what's been going on in the schools of the United Kingdom, with your Canadian prospect of things. I'd love to hear what you've got to think of, what your views of this. Go ahead, Kel.
What does the fox say? What does the fox say? What does the fox say?
I'm kidding. I have a lot to say. But,
All right. Okay, Kel, back away from the scotch bottle for just a few minutes.
Johnny Walker's liquor.
All right, Cal, just
well, yeah, I do have a lot to say about this, absolutely, and of course. And one thing that concerns me is that the issue of the Trojan horse should be of great concern with the peoples of the UK, in particular the leader of the Birmingham City Council, and his name is Sir Albert Bohr, and that he was concerned the situation could endanger community relations. This is
so
going to endanger community relations? Like, are you kidding me, Sir Albert Bohr? Get out of your ivory tower and step down into the streets and see what's really going on around you. You know, and we have people like Khalid Mahmood, he's a Labour MP for Birmingham Perry Barr. And he said that an urgent resolution was needed as parents looking for places for the new term. Like, what is going on over there? This is nuts. Why are these people even allowed to have positions in higher echelons? Like, this is absolutely insanity to me. We have seen this happening in the UK for a number of years now. We are seeing the ramifications of what is going on. We're seeing it in the United States. We're seeing it in our schools in that we have to attend Muslim Day. It's a mandatory day trip. And that if the primary students do not attend, they're giving a black mark on their record. I don't know what to make of this. What about Bridget Jones? She's the council's cabinet member for Children and Family Services. And she said that children should be able to work without fear of intimidation. And she's denied claims from some Muslim parents that a freeze on the recruitment of school governors, while it is investigated, the claims was effectively a message that Muslim governors were not welcome. We have put a freeze on appointing governors across the city until we can be sure that they're being appointed robustly and in the right possible way. Okay, maybe that is something in a direction in which we can address. But the Trojan horse is out, and they cannot deny it. Tahir Alam cannot deny the fact that there is something very, very wrong going on within the primary schools. And this is the Parkview Education Trust. And this Tahir Alam, he's running scared. He's calling it a witch hunt. No, it's not a witch hunt. It's called reality. And we are seeking you out, and we are going to get you, and we're going to beat you down. It may be a whack-a-mole situation here with the Trojan horse, but we're going to take this to the fullest extent of our investigative citizen journalism, and we will expose it. And you know what, Tahir Alam? You have nowhere to hide, because we're going
to put the
spotlight on you.
He's under the spotlight, like Islam is totally the whole masquerade, the whole thing is under the spotlight. It's quite obvious that they can't just say, you know, talk to people and say, oh, Islam, it's a religion of peace. You know, you talk to Muslims, it's a religion of peace. We'll explain the peace. It's quite obvious that it is a one big lie. It's a whole thing about taking control of the of the country that they live in. And this is what they've been trying to do for such a long time. I'm really, really pleased that we've seen some common sense now. Hopefully, Kel, this can be worked on, because there's other different things and something else that we really, really need to be getting it out there. The halal. We know now it's out in the open about the school issues, which we've been discussing on these shows week in, week out, haven't we, about the school issues. Now we really need to go after them with this halal. This is massive, massive money-making thing for Islam with what it's been doing. A global, you know, just I don't know what sort of money percentage it must be in the billions upon billions of what's been invested and what's coming out of them changing labels. Just an ordinary label, they buy the business and then they put a halal label on it. This is the way that they take over. It's just so out there now that we must go to war with over halal as well. This is all out war, isn't it, guys? We got to call it what it is. This is war. This is them against us. We, the civilised world, they not so, and never will be. They want to introduce the barbaric Sharia laws in this country. They want us to see people being hung from streets and things like that, people having their hands cut off, people buried up to their waist and stoned to death. That's never going to happen in this country, and we will fight you every step of the way. You think it's ever going to take any shape or form in this country over our dead bodies. But, Kel, go ahead. I'm sorry, but I said
my piece, and I've said my piece. I brought up the reference to what is going on in North America, what's happening in Canada and the United States with our children being indoctrinated, and that these Muslim Brotherhood adherents are infiltrating our public schools. It's happening in UK. This is the most stark example, and I think Agador could address that quite
I was going to say,
nicely.
Kel, that's a good point. Thank you very much, Kel, for that very informative information you gave the listeners there. Agador, over to you, brother. You've got some views about this this situation, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Well, first of all, I mean, Paul Alexander was saying that, you know, this sort of thing has been going on ever since they first began immigrating in the 60s, and I believe that. I mean, again, we've seen this time and again. In every country they go to, they use the same techniques, you know, insinuate themselves into positions where they can begin to indoctrinate. Now, in this particular case, you know, I do worry slightly. I mean, yes, it's a good thing that people are beginning to see that some of this stuff is being exposed. You know, hopefully it can be used to educate more people about Islam. You know, I'm very hopeful about that. We also have to be wary, because it could be that this is what some of us Americans call a shiny thing. This might be something that they put out and, you know, have a few Islamists take one for the team, and then they'll hope that the British population will relax and say, okay, the government's on the case. And, you know, that you know, any bad influence is going to now be out of our school, and we can relax and vote for these guys again because they're on the job. And as you pointed out, Jeff, there's so much more work to do in the UK, in fact, in all our countries. You know, but the glaring thing that stands out to me is in the West Midlands Police. I mean, how often have we heard of abuses from those guys? That is another place to concentrate and try and find out what the deal is and get some of these people who are being influenced by Islamists and who are favoring Islamists in law enforcement there, get them replaced or do something along those lines. I think it's good. I think it's great that the Trojan horse in the schools has been exposed. We all know how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important, but...
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, it's very big.
I would say
important.
It's big.
Yeah, definitely big, definitely important, you know, but I think that, you know, educators about Islam, like we are, need to be ready to point out that this could just be a shiny thing, and, you know, don't let people relax, you know, and say, okay, now we've had a quick resolution to this, we can all just, you know, nothing to see here anymore, you know, let's go on and talk about Britain's Got Talent. That's what I've got.
Yeah, I understand that. I think you make a very good, valid point that we must stay on the case, no matter what they say. We've got to see some positive things happening. We've got to see them going about their business. Whether the Muslims want to call it a witch hunt, so be it. Let them call it a witch hunt. Because if it means that some sort of normality going on for our schools, then they can, as you say, be victimised, be what they like. But we want to see the right things going on with the children in our schools. And I think the panel would agree with that sentiment. Go ahead, Edgar. Did you have anything more to add to that? Because that was fantastic.
Well, not a whole lot more. But, you know, I will say that, yes, I do. You know, this, you know, as it stands alone, it is really big, because it is about the influence on our kids. I mean, I see this, quite honestly, in my own home life with my stepson, a perfectly good, a perfectly intelligent and kind individual, you know, but I hear him spout this Dhimmi stuff all the time, and it's because he gets this from his religious teachers and from the society at the university he goes to. And it all starts on the primary school level. And that's why this is so important. It can turn good people into useful idiots or just plain bad people. So, yes, this particular thing
is another thing that goes to my mind.
Absolutely. Yep, brainwashing works. It does. So, you know, that's what I've got, folks.
Thank you, Agatha.
And you know
thank
what?
You very much.
There has been somebody sitting here very quietly absorbing this particular conversation about the Trojan horse, what is happening in Birmingham, and that is Tommy. And Tommy English, I would like to hear your input as to what you feel about this.
Well, this Trojan horse, I think it's come a bit too late in regards to what's happening in the country today. Because I think after what happened to Paul E. Rigby, they've started to basically clamp down on what's happening. They've kind of rooted the problem as to what is happening in the schools. That was basically, you know, I left school 3 years ago. So, sorry, no, it was 4 years ago. What am I saying? so I know what it's like to go to school that's basically 80% quote Asian. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to go in there basically in fear of your own life. And I felt sorry for all the young lasses there. You know, the year seven girls who were like threatened with rape. Basically how it worked at my old school, it was part of I think it was part of 57 Austin investigations because of rape of young girls and also its high suicide rates. And basically in 2012, they knocked my old secondary school down. Now, they said it was because it was due to its lack of GCSE results. Basically, people went there, didn't do well in the GCSEs, whereas I did, thank goodness. So they knocked it down. Now, basically, in Hull, it kind of went around saying, no, they knocked it down because teachers couldn't control it, officers couldn't do nothing about what was happening, and they all knew where the problem was coming from. It was coming from the Muslim students who were there preaching extremism. So when it comes to Trojan horse now, and like you said, Jeff, it is in Bradford, I think it's in Rotherham as well. It's also going to Kent, and I don't know if it's going to come to Hull, which it probably will. So I know Endicott School's kind of going down this route of extremism at the moment. Basically, it's widespread. You can't identify, you know, one city as being the problem. It's basically, leave it because killers didn't come from Birmingham. You've got people like Anjem Chowdhury who are teaching their kids to hate. They go to school with non-English kids. Imagine what they're going to be going around telling all them kids. Say, no, we can't talk to you because you are just scum. And my dad's got to preach, Shireen, you've got to cover up because you're a slut. As he quite blatantly put it, outside of Regent's Park Mosque. It's absolutely monstrous. The only way how you can actually get rid of this problem, you can't just go into a school and say, right, I think he's an extremist. You've got to say, no, you've got to put them all, every single one of them, behind bars or in a box. That's the way it's going to be, one of the two. And by the way, it's going to be like that the next 3 years. They're going to be behind bars or they're going to be in boxes.
That is frightening, Tommy.
It certainly is, Carla, and as I say, Tommy, I mean, his experience at school is his relived a story when he tried to befriend some Muslims, and he had a rough time, and so many stories we heard like that. And of course, not forgetting, I know we're talking about schools, but let's talk about a school in Nigeria, a little bit further afield. Of 200 schoolgirls being abducted from the school because these Islamists, what's the name of this group, this terrorist group, Tim? Boko something or other, isn't it?
Boko Haram. It translates
Boko Haram.
as education forbidden or book bad, depending on who you're talking to, but they're basically against Western education.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing, the same sort of ideology is what's trying to take over the Western, you know, Western civilization, and it's absolutely terrible. I mean, something's got to be done about this. You know, these people being able to think that they can go and kidnap a load of children, little schoolgirls from a school because they don't want to be educated, and God knows what's going on out there at this moment in time. The mind boggles, doesn't it, Tim? And Agador and Tommy, but we've got to come to grips with this Islam is the main evilness out there, and it's spread its tentacles. It's causing all sorts of problems. The problems throughout the world, as I said before, many shows before, 90% of the problems we got in the world is Islamic related. So we have got serious problems. There is a global jihad which is going on as we talk. They're working, they're evil. You know, it's people like ourselves, we're standing up and saying we've got to, this is, can't go on. You know, we like our society, we like Western civilization, and we must never allow these people to take any sort of control. And I do say the our governments have been putting people in these power who are dangerous to our nation, our security. We've seen it time after time, a lot of them being exposed to what they really are, Islamic extremists, supremacists. You know, if we don't stop it, it will carry on. And it's good to see that we can see some light at the end of the tunnel, can't we? Some things that's been happening just lately, you know, all of a sudden, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to wake up to realise this is a very serious situation we got. You know, there is a jihad going on against us, and we must come to the forefront, and we must protect our civilization with any way we possibly can. And with that, I've ranted a little bit and vented, should I say. As I do.
Put it out there as well that we seem to have the Russians breathing down our necks as well, don't we?
Oh, yeah, thank you, President Obama.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the aiding and abetting that is going on in the Western nations is astounding. And, of course, I cannot... His name is Barack Hussein Obama, and I cannot bring myself to offer up the honorific because he has not earned it, and that he is aiding and abetting this infiltration of Islamic teachings within the public schools in the United States. I am flabbergasted when I see pictures of school children in primary school on their way to a day trip, and they are visiting a madrasa or a mosque in which they are being taught how to pray. And we have our very young people bending over on a prayer mat with these people, these Islamists, with their hands pointed out and their index finger pointed out, and they're saying, no, you're doing it wrong. This is not what I anticipated in my public school curriculum for my child. And they come home from school and they say that we learned that Islam is misunderstood. No, Islam is not misunderstood. Islam is Islam. Muslim is Muslim. And I offer no apologies in how I feel about Muslims within Islam. They are not taking responsibility. I can go on about this all day long until the cows come home, or until the sheep come home, or until the camels come home.
Or the goats. Or the goats.
The goats. But it's just everything has been frayed within our public school systems, whether it be the UK, the United States, in Canada. Australia is suffering ramifications of allowances of multiculturalism in particular. And it is enough to drive a parent crazy, and thus it should. This is why I say, get your kids out of public school. And if you cannot afford to private school your children, at least get the syllabus of what they are being learned that particular semester. Get the syllabus and sit around the table and talk to your child and say, what did you do in school today? Don't just, ask what they're learning in school today. Get a hold of their textbooks and peruse those textbooks, because this is exactly, and this is what Tim Burton, our Tim, wrote about when he exposed the Trojan horse, and Tim Burton espoused on it. There is a Trojan horse now investigation into alleged hardline Islamist. There is a takeover going on in Birmingham, and it's gathering momentum, and it's people like Tim Burton that is exposing it, mostly school in Birmingham, UK, for goodness sake. This is just unforgivable that we are allowing this to carry on unfettered. Jeff?
I would agree with you, Kel, and I'm really glad that this has been exposed, and people like Tim and other good people are actually putting it right in the spotlight of the situation that's going on. I mean, people talk about it all the time, what's going on in the schools and how people discuss it, but it's good to see that there is an investigation of exactly what's going on. Yes, we find that the Muslim Brotherhood have done a runner from this country and out in Austria now. They know that their time of shining out there and taking the piss out of this nation is coming quickly to an end. But we need, as you say, we talked about earlier, there's a lot of work still needs to be done. And the people like yourself, Tim, and a lot of the anti-jihad movement out there, keep writing them what you're doing, guys, because we have got them on the run. Some parts of it are on the run, and we must keep them under the spotlight. We've got no choice. It is our goal, it's our calling, and we must continue. I was going to say, Kel, there is another article that me and you discussed earlier, an article that I posted to you, which maybe we'll discuss after we come back from a break, which is Sharia Watch UK launched in the House of Lords. I think that could be a very interesting part of the next part of our show for this evening.
Yeah, Jeff, absolutely fantastic, and you're right. Yeah. We're due for a break, and we'll take it right now if you like.
Yeah, yes, please, Kel. It gives me time to refresh myself. Actually, if we've got enough long, I'll make myself another cup of tea. It's gone cold, this one.
Your tea always goes cold.
It always does, because I'm chatting.
I'm going to buy you a little hot plate so that you can put it right beside your desk. You know,
it would help, Kel.
Jeff, that would be something else to clutter up your desk.
Kel, if you, ladies and gentlemen, if Kel's desk and Tim's and Agador's and Tommy's desk is as bad as mine, my goodness me, I'll rummage around. Right, where is that paper? Tim, you're laughing because I know yours gets in the state as well, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, that's right. You should see what gets on my desk. You'd be surprised.
my desk is an absolute mess some days. It's true. But, Jeff, yeah, I'm going to buy you a little hot plate, and you can plug it in.
You know me,
I'll put the elbow on there. It'll keep
warm.
Oh, I wish.
But not in the bad way, just
in the good way.
That's a good idea, though. That sounds a good idea. I might get one of those firmer cups you can get, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when you put your tea in and it stays warm, you just keep the lid on and just drink it, and it's just, I might buy myself one of those, invest in one of those.
There you go.
Especially when I do the radio shows and that. But anyway, guys, as I say, when we come back, we'll be talking about Sharia Watch UK launched in the House of Lords. It's another very important point that I've seen today. It's the first time I've seen it today, and I'll pass it along to Kel. And we did have a quick little chat about it. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to Kel. Kel, have we got something nice for our great listeners out there?
Oh, we certainly do. I think this song is totally appropriate for the topic that we have been covering in the first hour. And, of course, this is the Trojan horse that has been exposed and taking place in our UK schools. we have to thank very, very many people in exposing it. And, of course, that includes Tim Burton, who writes for the Brenner Brief out of the United States. So thank you especially to Tim Burton for this article that we have been dissecting. But, Jeff, we're going to see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
Okay. Right. With that, Kel, over to you.
Okay. Welcome back, Jeff.
Well, I'm here.
Jeff is still
so
making his cup of tea.
there's probably
we'll
a
have to buy him a new
on
kettle.
Top of
that
the,
one's obviously
yeah, probably a spider sitting on his desk
okay.
Or something like that.
We're going to allow Tommy to assume hosting duties right now.
Right, I'm now placing this show under Sharia law. All women must cover up immediately.
But it's a new show. They must cover up with me. Oh, sorry.
Oh, he muted himself. Jeff, what are you doing? What are you like?
What are you like?
Come in, Joe.
There we go.
I think the host of the show is back. Hey, Jeff.
I was in the kitchen making a cup of tea.
We do it. Dear.
So I for my goodness, I was late back then, wasn't I?
Yes.
We got about three topics covered while you were away.
Take my name.
Oh no, Tommy's taking your name.
Oh right, okay. Yes, I'll be in the office first thing in the morning, Tom.
Oh no, you'll be in the office first thing after the show there, young man. You know what, because election season's coming up, I want 40 press ups while saying vote Labour.
I'd rather nail my tongue to a wall.
All right. Okay, you know what? I swear, when I do the show, it's like herding cats. Believe me. I know all about that. Ladies and gentlemen, please indulge me, because when I moderate my own show at Red Fox Blogger Radio, wow, it is, you have to keep a tight rein on things, but you guys really cut me out for my work.
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Oh, God. Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here. And if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, yeah. You hear the stories. I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
You let the cats out.
Meow, meow. And I have to thank you, Major, for that one.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. Do you know what? We have too much fun doing this show, guys. I just thought of that tonight. We have far too much
fun. I'm going to have to mute myself.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
We're moving into a different topic now.
Well, do you know what?
And now for something completely different.
Tim, Vito Esposito wants to know, Tim, how are you feline?
How are you feline? Yes. Oh, meow.
We need an angle for the chat room.
Oh, it's getting bad in the chat room. It's getting really, really bad in the chat room,
yes.
Jeff, because Stanger is saying that he would rather round up pussy.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Mr. Spanger.
And we
my goodness
you.
Me.
God bless you. Different translations of that word. Maybe the Americans have a different time for it than what we do.
What we should do, though, before we move into the next topic, and we should acknowledge our friends that are joining us. And well,
oh,
first of all,
yes.
Jeff Mitchell is the host of the EDL radio show, and I am his producer. I'm Kel Fritzy, and the panelist tonight is, of course, Tim Burton of Cat Strangler 101. We have Agador, and he is the unpleasant blind guy, and we have Tommy English, who is an EDL leader of the Tommy, help me out here. I always get that acronym mixed up. Oh, I'm terrible about that.
Well, you normally get it all right.
Oh, God, I usually get it right, but I trip over it. I hate acronyms. I hate that. I'm going to, when I see you, I'm just going to spell it out outright. I swear. And I'm editing
this
show, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the EDL's ligament division.
There you go. God,
we've
love
got
you.
Every other division out there. We've even got a mass division now.
There we go. She got it.
And we want to thank people in the chat room. And that is Echo. Oh, Echo just got here.
Echo.
EDL Minx. Eric Kyle.
Brilliant.
We have numerous guests. Jeff. We have Paul Alexander. Mm-hmm. We have Porky Steve. We have Stanger73. Oh, and that is my voice. And we have Vito Esposito, who is mine and Tim's boss at the Radio Jihad Network. We've had people pop in and people pop out, Jeff, and it has been a fantastic show thus far. We lost it a few times. But, Jeff, you wanted to talk about this topic about Sharia Watch UK launched in the House of Lords. Now, this is fascinating. Jeff, I cannot believe
certainly
that
is.
They're
That's,
doing this.
As soon as I... Kel, maybe you can explain, because you've got a great way that you explain the story of what's actually happening. And so, if you don't mind, could you read it out for our listeners? Because it's a fascinating story.
It is, absolutely. And this is very interesting that the ICLA, they attended an event at the House of Lords, Jeff, in which a new and important legislation called Sharia Watch UK was launched. The new organization will campaign for recognition of the dangers posed by Sharia law in the UK, particularly in relation to women's rights. ICLA has been highlighting similar issues as part of its Victims of Sharia Action Network, and that is VOSEN. And that is an initiative to welcome the creation of this new organization. Now, this I'd like a lot because I admire this author and this speaker very much. Sharia Watch UK was introduced by Anne Marie Waters at the House of Lords event, who emphasized several times that she was only interested in telling the truth. Now, the event was hosted by Baroness Caroline Cox, who had campaigned against the use of Sharia law in tribunals and councils across the UK. Amen! Lady
Cox
has argued that Sharia law undermines the most fundamental principles of equality enshrined in British law in respect of its treatment of women, Jeff. Now, the new Sharia Watch UK web resource aims to highlight the impact of Islamism in Britain and the often hidden face of its proponents. Hello, Agent Chowdhury. Sharia tribunals and councils currently operate a system of family law in the UK, which denies women unilateral divorce rights, even in cases of domestic violence. Sharia family law also denies child custody to women and treats their testimony as worth less than that of their husbands. We all know that. But at the launch, a new report, Sharia Law, Britain's Blind Spot, was published. The report analysis and that the belief of an apparently mainstream Muslim organization, and they argue that such beliefs represent an extremist view and should be regarded as such. Amen. Agree. So totally. Some of the senior figures involved in these groups advocate not only Sharia law, but jihad. Against non-Muslims. Furthermore, they express a desire for a full Islamic state, including barbaric punishments, and this taking place in Britain. Such groups have been represented as moderate and endorsed by the legacy media and mainstream public figures. Sharia Watch UK will show the public and our potential leaders the extent of the threat that Sharia and Islamic extremism poses to the rights and freedoms of women, freedom of speech, and democratic principles. ICLA's representative at the event did not notice that journalists from The Times and The Daily Telegraph present at the event. Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting to see whether these news outlets actually report anything about the event or whether the event will be conveniently ignored by the legacy media altogether or relegated to parts of their website where the fewest people would get to read them, i.e. not on the front page, but buried on page 16. But I have a funny feeling that the Daily Telegraph will pick this up. And there's a lot of links in here, ladies and gentlemen, that you can take yourself to. I'm going to post the link in the chat room.
I'll put the link early. Carol, I've dropped it in here.
Oh, you
Jeff
did.
Quick,
fantastic.
Off the
okay.
There you go.
Now, I find this rather fascinating in that there is actually a group that has established Sharia Watch UK, and it's been launched in the House of Lords, and this was initiated by Anne-Marie Waters. And Jeff, I want you to...
We've had her actually talking on the show before, when she was at Oxford Union. She is absolutely awesome, ladies and gentlemen, and my goodness me, to see this, it really does raise one's spirits, because it's a hard fight we're in, isn't it? And to see these people are coming to the forefront and joining with us and helping along the path, it's fantastic. When I read that, of course, I flew it straight over to Cal. I said, check this out. It's just, it blew me away. It's fantastic news, isn't it? Isn't it Tim? Isn't it Agador? Isn't it Tommy? What great news, you know, that people are really waking up to this. This scourge is what I love that word, scourge, Carol. It's embedded in my brain now.
Yeah.
So, and actually, you've done it really good justice there, the way that you read that article out there. And as Cable said, there's lots of links that you can link to if you found that interesting. And I'm sure we'll be following it very closely to see different aspects of how it progresses. Hopefully it will flourish. That's what we've been needing for such a long time, to be in the heart, you know, where things really matter. The House of Lords, this is it, guys. I mean... my goodness me, and it takes the group with people like the ICLE, with the great standing people there, doing a fantastic job, aren't they? Would you not agree with that, guys? Fantastic job.
Well, but, I would absolutely agree with this, and as a woman, I find it heartening that these organizations are getting together and that they are getting down and saying, look, we are recognizing a problem within the UK. And it's not only that it's a grassroots recognition, but it is a formal recognition in that this is being recognized in the House of Lords. And Anne-Marie Waters is initiating this. This makes me very proud. I want to ask Agador, though. Agador and myself, being in North America, I wonder, Agador, do you think that we're going to find similar situations in which we have to initiate a Sharia watch, whether it be in our Parliament in Canada, for example, or whether it be in the House or the Senate in the United States, Agador?
Well, I think it's possible, Kel. You know, and interestingly enough, and this happened, you know, a little over a year ago now, an anti-Sharia law did not pass in the state of Missouri. I think a lot of this is going to begin in the state houses here in the United States, you know, because it's going to be on that level that people are going to be able to have the most influence. So I think you'll begin to see something like that begin in the state houses, and then depending on you know how much influence the Tea Party movement and other civil rights movements have here in the states, you may see these sorts of things begin in maybe our House of Representatives and our Senate. I think it's a tremendous accomplishment for the UK. It's a big leap forward for civil rights. You know, Tim is absolutely correct when he points out that It's not that we're anti anything so much as we're pro civil rights, and that's the civil rights of everyone who want to live together and you know allow each other to be themselves without doing harm to others. You know, and this is just an important point for women, and I can't be happier, you know, any happier about it. And yes, I think you know, as Europe goes, often so socially does the United States, and this influence from that side of the pond is actually something that might be really good on our side.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I would also like to, if you don't mind me just interjecting there, I'd like to say that this is now affecting middle part, you know, middle England, you know, where we talk about grassroots, the working class. This is now, we're into middle England. Middle England are getting involved in the fight back as well now. And that is what we're seeing with these great groups of people out there. And that's all we've ever wanted in the English Defence League and, you know, a pressure group as such. This is what we've called out for such a long time, for groups of people like this who is willing to put their heads above the parapet and stand. And okay, they might not say they're part of the English Defence League, but to do similar things to what we've been doing for such a long time. It does... Well, anybody's a part of the English Defence League, it lifts our spirits to know that, yes, people have seen the dangers, because that's all we've ever tried to say. Look, we're not alarmists. This is really happening. Look around you. Look where Tommy lives. Look where Tim lives. Look around you. These things are happening. These things are happening. And it's good to see that people like Anne-Marie Walters has took the forefront. And as I say, with, you know, now Sharia Watch being put into the House of Lords, my goodness me, it's does lift the spirits of what we've been doing for such a long time now. Well, it's not that long, relatively speaking. We've not been around too long, like we would say, any like political parties, anything like that. But my goodness me, we've really made, you know, we've really sort of made waves, haven't we, over the last few years? And it's really good to see that other people, other groups now are picking up speed, and maybe it will help us accomplish. Maybe we'll be able to see the light in not so many years, as a little bit of time, maybe a couple of years, we might see some really, really big drastic changes. Because, as we've often talked about, it's needed, urgent, it's needed to be done now. Not 10 years down the line. We need to stop it in its tracks right now. Go ahead, Kel.
I was just thinking that this proposal, it is absolutely amazing, and that there might be hope for Britain yet. We have young people out there on the streets talking about the preservation of England. And one person that we have on our panel is Tommy. And when, hey, Tommy, when you read these stories, what do you think? Do you think that this gives you hope for your movement to preserve what England is?
It's about the Sharia Watch. I've been tuning in now. My brother keeps walking in. Yeah, he keeps walking. Tommy, I've had a nightmare. I don't care. I'm doing my show. well, when it comes to... Well, I think it does give us a bit of hope, because I was asked an interesting question the day as to why the government doesn't ban the EDL when they can. They've got that authority to. Now, the reason they don't ban it is because we bring these issues to light about paedophile gangs, Sharia law, jihad, everything about it. So it seems that everything that we've brought up in the past 4.5 years is now getting tackled. You're now getting grooming gangs getting smashed. You now got Islamic preachers getting deported. And now what we see, when you got people like Anjem Chowdhury and Abu Wizardine, who are spouting Sharia outside Regent's Park Mosque, and you got them in Surrey, you got them in Kent. And it seems to be like they're going to start tackling them, which I think is actually giving us a bit of a faster momentum, because it seems that this war is actually going to come to a more quicker end. Because basically, if you go back a year ago, now when I was doing this radio show, we were saying, banging our desk, why is the government not doing anything about it? Why are they not smashing these grooming gangs? Why are they not doing anything about it? And now they are. And to me, that gives me a lot of hope. But if you ask me, the reason why they're doing it right now, is because what we got next year?
Well, we've got an election coming up. It's quite obvious, isn't it, that they've got to be seen. You know, they want to sort of see if they can grab the UKIP vote, because the UKIP's floundering all over the top of them. They are running circles around them at this moment in time. So they need to do something really, which probably goes against their grain. They didn't want to tackle the issues of Islam, but I think they realise it's so important, so much of a topical talking point with people around the country, that maybe they've had a quiet talk. Some of these ministers have got together, Tommy, because as you say, we've highlighted these issues, and then we've been persecuted. We've got to call it. We've been persecuted because we try to highlight these issues. We go places. Sometimes people, you know, get hurt going, you know, to demonstrate and speak out. And people are being imprisoned because of speaking out and doing the right thing, being patriotic. And so we still say, yeah, we can see some change, but as you say, we got an election looming, and probably think it'd go back to some normal state as what we've had last year. But as I say, it comes nearer to elections that you're going to see a lot of big steps forward. People are going to say, well, at least they're doing something. Yeah, it's a temporary thing. Unless we see firm things being done, not just talk the talk. We want to see things done in these prisons as well, don't we? How many times we talked about what goes on in the conversion in these prisons? It's run by Muslims. Tommy Robinson's even said that. When he was there, you remember when he was on the show, he said the prisons are run by Muslims. That's about time. And don't forget, the own minister, Theresa May, said, we're going to tackle this. Well, we haven't seen anything constructively done at this moment, bloody time, have we, Theresa? Let's see you put your money where your mouth is. You're bloody the minister. You can't do the job. Put someone in place who can do it and do the walk, do the talk. There you go, guys.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, Jeff, like you said, they're worried about because you get a lot of people who would vote Conservative voting UKIP. Now, when it comes to UKIP with me, I wouldn't vote for them because it's like their main policy is getting us out of the EU. But if you was to ask anybody in UKIP about Islam, they don't seem to, you know, have a policy on it. You know, there's no policy. If you look at their manifesto, there's nothing that talks about Sharia law or Anjem Chive, anybody like that. So basically, Tim, I think you brought it up on the show of the day, didn't you? About UKIP being the only single-issue party.
What, specifically about it being a single-issue party or about it only being a single-issue party? What,
one of them. How it,
yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the context. I mean, when UKIP first came out, yes, it was a single-issue party, and that was great because we didn't have anything like it at all. We just had Liberal, Labour, and Conservative, and it looked like we were going to be stuck with one of those three forever and a day. And then UKIP came out, and a lot of people thought, oh, there is an alternative, and it gained a lot of ground. Taking votes off all the three major parties. But as things have developed, what we're finding is that, yeah, UKIP is a single-issue party, and it is important to get us out of the European Union, no doubt about that, because unless we can reclaim our sovereignty, there's going to be relatively little we can do in other areas. But what we're finding is that UKIP, by and large, is predominantly a single-issue party, and now that's an issue because we're starting to see the effects of Islamization in this country. That's becoming more apparent to people, but UKIP doesn't actually have a great deal to say on the subject of Islam. And in fact, I came across an article on, it might have been a comment actually, on Bare Naked Islam the other day. Kel might well have seen it, specifically talked about, I think it was a chap called Malcolm Jackson who had been part of UKIP, and he wrote in to say that not only was UKIP a little ambivalent on the subject of Islam, that it had actually been infiltrated by people who had Islamic interests at heart, and consequently couldn't really be trusted to deliver any substantial progress on stopping Islamization. So, I mean, that was the point I was making, I think, last
good
time I spoke
there,
about
Tim.
It. Yeah, so that was it.
And I'll just say here real quick, you know, this is one of the things that we have to be wary of also is when we're looking for alternatives, when we're looking for new ways to gather together and get some representation and things like that and all the things that we do, we have to understand there are going to be people who are going to try and subvert that. There are going to be people who try and insinuate themselves, as, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, Islam, for instance, into that. It's the same as, white supremacists trying to, you know, insinuate themselves into the Tea Party movement and, you know, bringing signs with Obama looking like a monkey and things like that to our gatherings. We have to be prepared to throw those people out and say that they don't represent us. And that's a very similar way with all these new things. You have to look at everything that you might possibly vote for because you never know what's under the surface.
Well,
and that is
something
that I find absolutely amazing as well, and that I just put a little copy and paste in the chat room, Sharia Law, Britain's Blind Spot. And Agador, actually, I would like to pick that up with you because you are experiencing Sharia family courts in the United States right now. And there are I know that there are a number of states that have refused to acknowledge Sharia law, but there are quite a few states that do. Some states, rather surprising to me, Alabama, Florida, Texas. In Canada, we have thus far managed to evade the Sharia law family courts, so-called. I'm wondering, Britain has close to 100 Sharia-compliant lower courts. How is it that if the United States adopts more, will the United States fall to Sharia law?
Well, it first of all, it breaks my heart to think that that those courts exist in my birth state of Texas. And I think that it's all because people in the United States of America, they've been told, look, this is just for contracts and things like that, and it doesn't really affect anything. This is where getting the truth out here in the States is vitally important so that more states don't adopt this and some of the ones that do will get rid of them as soon as possible. We need to make this an issue here in the States with up-and-coming politicians who are trying to run for office, and get it into the notice of those who are already in office, that this is unacceptable, and it's completely opposite to the civil rights principles that we try and live by here in the States.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, you know, I mean, you know, we sound like broken records when it comes down to this, but it is true. It comes down to getting the truth out. And right now, the Islamists are very good at their own PR, and they're very good at the warm and fuzzy Islam. We have to educate people about the real Islam, and I think once that happens, we can turn this tide. There you go.
Yeah. I would say that's a very good point. As I've often talked about the two faces of Islam, as you say, the warm, fuzzy bit where they try to say it's peaceful and that, and the reality of what we see with people being buried up to their waist and being stoned to death, people having their hands cut off, people being hung from the giant cranes, public displays, these things. These are the real aspects of Sharia law. This is the hardcore Sharia law that they want to impose upon free, loving people. And I tell you what, they've done a bloody good job so far. But we're here, and we are fighting back with every tool that we possibly can use. And, you know, we're getting it out there exactly what it was. And there's plenty of information that what we say is the way, what's going on in the world. As I say, ladies and gentlemen, Where have you been if you haven't been looking at what's been going on in Nigeria, these young kiddies who's been kidnapped from the school learning. These young girls were learning how to read, how to write, how to become educated, and these Islamists, these Muslims, these criminals thought that they would take these children away from the good things of life. To be educated is so, so important for these young children to grow up to be, you know, good citizens of their country, to do good things. So they're trying to take, Islam wants to take you back to the dark ages. They want to do away with education. They want you to be totally ignorant and to be under some sort of tyranny. Go ahead, Kel. Sorry, I could hear you giggling.
No, it's just like when you say they want to take it back to the dark ages, that they're bringing the dark ages to us. And if we engage in the ignorance and the dimitude, we'll just happily follow along. It's like Peter, the Pied Piper, and that we will be marching down the street, and we'll just happily follow along. And the next thing you know, we'll wonder how we got here. We'll be wondering, you know, what's my name, where did I come from, and what did I do, and what could I have prevented? Yeah, they're the Pied Piper.
It won't be us,
Gil,
because we understand the
threat. We're the Pied Piper. My apologies. They are the Pied Pipers, and we are the rats if we engage them any further, whether it be our dimitude or our ignorance. We are in perilous times right now, Jeff.
Yeah, we do live in dangerous times, but as I say, I've always said this, legend, I'm a born optimist, and I do believe that the great people of our nations will come together, and we know we've got serious issues. We know that our countries have been taken over, stealth, whatever you want to call it. We see it. We see positions of these people being in power. But these people can have their positions taken away. That's what I'm saying. You know, it might look a bit dark, the outlook might, but guarantee you, if you're an optimist, you believe in your people. And your country, and your nations. We will win. There's no doubt about it. Goodness will always prevail over darkness and evil. And, you know, but that's the way I've always looked at it, because we will. And as you say, sometimes it looks very dark. Some of the things that's coming out, you think, my goodness me. And how are we going to take it apart? As what Tim once said, it's like an elephant. And someone said about, actually, it's just one mouth at a time. Or should I say, one day at a time, little by little, we gather the momentum. When we have been, and we are sort of, I can start seeing a bit, some more light now, more so than what I did say 3-4 years ago, which was looked very dire back then. But I can see that people are waking up, and what we've done with the shows that we've been doing has really brought it to the attention of the public, of the great listening people out there. So there you go. Anyway, Kel, did you want to continue with that?
I would like to expand on what you said about the various radio shows, because, Jeff, there are so many out there, and I'm going to show a little bit, because there are so many radio programs that you can listen to that espouse the evil of Islam. And of course, I have to say this because Tim and myself, we are the co-host at the Radio Jihad Network, and there are 7 shows a week that you can listen to. And of course, you have the Red Fox Blogger radio show that you can hear on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. There are so many programs out there on Blog Talk Radio in particular, of course. We are sitting here, and we're not sitting idly. We are doing our research, and we are bringing the news to you that we give you the homework in which you can educate yourself. There are avenues out there. Citizen journalism is what it's called. And we bring you the truth and the honesty as you know, EDL radio. Like, for goodness sake, listen to EDL radio 3 times a week, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. We're not bullshitting you, folks. And we're not blowing sunshine. We're serious in our pursuits of exposing the scourge called Islam. These are slimes. These people live amongst us. And you think that smiling Muslim is friendly? Well, he will never be your friend. She will never be your friend. But they will engage in such activities as the Maruna, where it suits them to lie. They'll engage in the Kitman, where it helps their political means, and they'll engage in the Takiyah, where they'll lie right to your face. So be warned.
Which has been exposed lately has been a very much a highlight. Takiyah has been in the court in Birmingham, totally exposed to what it really is with Professor Janssen, wasn't it, Tim? Was it Professor Janssen?
That's right, Professor Janssen. He made a very good witness on the subject of Takiyah, and he was instrumental in getting the verdict that we did. If we can get Takiyah out there as a major component of Islamic doctrine, which we should, because it fundamentally affects the relationship between ourselves as non-Muslims and any Muslims that we might interact with, if we can have that fully understood by every non-Muslim in the land, then nobody would stand for Islam in this country for another moment. It's just based on lies and deceit.
Do you mind if we interject that going back to 2003, the European courts ruled that Sharia law is not compatible to Western civilization, and that was back to 2003. So it seems strange that that wasn't looked upon and people didn't take it serious, and it just continued on its merry way, flourishing as it has done up to 2014. On its merry way with the facilitation of our politicians.
I tell you something, I wouldn't mind. Just a second, Tommy. I just want to quickly ask if either you, Jeff, or if anybody else listening, or perhaps Kel, can find a link to that particular ruling from 2003. I'd be very interested, because I would like to know how we got from there to here.
Good point.
If we had had a ruling in 2003 that was so strongly against Sharia law, I would like to try and understand how we've actually managed to go backwards from that point to get as much Sharia as we have. I'm not disputing your word for a moment, Jeff, but I would like to understand the process. And at the moment, I don't fully see that the process that brought us to this point from a ruling in 2003 that effectively would have thought would have knocked Sharia right back in its tracks.
Yeah, well, it should have done. This is what I'm saying. It should have done. And we'll do a bit of investigation and to find out an article that was actually said back in 2003, and they made a ruling on it. But it seemed like the Europe just carried on its merry ways until we get to a point what we see before us now. Kel or Tommy. I haven't got it in front of me at the moment, but maybe we can do a bit of investigating.
Would that be
from the
Gatestone Institute?
Hang on, yes, I think it possibly could be.
Okay.
I'm just
looking at that, and I believe that the Gatestone Institute exposed that in 2003. I'm not too sure. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it was in the European. I know it was in the European courts because we've mentioned it before on the show, and I think Tommy Robinson was on the show actually talked about it as well, going back a little while ago now, but it has been talked about on numerous occasions. So yeah, it'd be nice if we could find it, and then we could pass it on to Tim, and we could really get stuck into the reason why we are where we are now.
I'm just wondering if this is the Gatestone Institute that said that Islamic Sharia law is incompatible I'm just speaking off the top of my head right now.
I think I might possibly have landed on the same article as you, Kel, from the Gatestone Institute, and it does say, well, I haven't read the whole article, but it does say that the European Court of Human Rights actually ruled on Islamic Sharia law in that respect, which is what makes me wonder how we could have got to where we are from that point 11 years ago. Vito in the chat room says it's largely down to financial considerations, which of course is entirely believable. The influence of Saudi petrodollars in the last 10, 11 years, I suppose, could certainly account for it, because it doesn't matter how many laws you pass, if the people in power are going to be corrupted by money, or in this case petrodollars, then you can pass as many laws as you like, and you'll still end up stuffed if the authorities take that's a technical term, Agador, in case you were wondering.
Well, we see that petrol for money in in the United Nations, didn't we? There was a big scandal about that, Tim, going back.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could believe that, and I'm quite happy to take that as an explanation if I don't see anything else. But I was just curious, that's all.
That's
a ruling of that nature.
It gives us a chance to really study it, doesn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it does.
Well, if I can throw something in.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I can throw something in, I mean, you know, you're talking about, you're making a very good point here, and we're just as frustrated with this on other subjects here in the States. We've got a constitution, we've got laws, and we've got, all of these things set up from years in our past, and they're just being ignored by our politicians. And we're seeing some of them. Oh, they'll go in front of congressional hearings and everything, and then they'll retire with full, very large pensions. I mean, you're absolutely right. When money comes in and money can corrupt, whatever laws we pass, they can just be ignored by the people in power, and it's the responsibility of the people to hold those people's feet to the fire and to tell them no. You will pay attention to the laws that exist.
I think they should be held accountable for any sort of corruption that goes on, and I don't think there should be no stone not turned over to find out who these people are and where this money's gone. That must be work out over the time. If we're talking from that period to 2014, how many billions upon billions of pounds and dollars has been used in a corrupt way, just so as to bring Islam onto the into the forefront of everything.
I was just going to say, Jeff, I found an article to do with the Gatestone Institute, which I have dropped into the chat room, and it referred to a legislative proposal that was made in Belgium, I think. And although the European Court of Human Rights had already by that time, that was February 2003, they'd made that ruling, what they wanted to do in Belgium was to introduce a proposal, and I don't know if that actually ever got passed, but they wanted to make it so that anybody who was elected to public office, if it looked like that they were an ultra-conservative Muslim, they would not be allowed to run local governments or community bodies. Now, that would be a very good place to start looking if we wanted to implement similar laws today, I feel. I only say I've noticed it in this article, and I don't know what became of that specific legislative proposal. But if we were thinking about making changes over here, I think we could make an argument based on the European Court of Human Rights ruling in 2003, unless that's been substantially amended by subsequent legislation, and we could use that as a basis
for saying,
you know.
Maybe we can follow it up, Tim. Maybe we can follow the tracks.
Yeah, okay. I'm only just throwing it out there for people to chat about.
No, thanks, Tim.
Okay, so I'll leave it at that at the moment and hand the mic back to you.
Thank you, Tim. No, as I say, if we can, Yeah, because we like to. I mean, if there's legislation that's already been spoke about that ruling, I'm sure that there must be some conclusion to it, and there must be, as you say, maybe it's been amended or whatever. But it'd be good to see, wouldn't it? So, guys, if you get to be busy doing a bit of homework there, maybe we'll have something to talk about, maybe on tomorrow's show about it, maybe. Maybe Tim can turn something up a little bit more, or
yeah,
our tell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we'll all have a look at it if you like, and if we've got some extra things to add to it tomorrow, you know, we can do. Of course, tomorrow we might even be able to throw yaks into the equation, and who knows?
Oh yeah. We can absolutely do that, but we are down, Jeff, to our last 7 minutes of talking points, and. I was wondering if we could wrap it up with Tommy's thoughts, general thoughts about what's been going on in the discussion tonight. And Tommy, I was wondering how you feel about these issues coming up, in particular the UK Muslims expected to raise money more than $1 million for charity during Ramadan. Okay, we can always talk about that. But I just want to ask Tommy about what he feels about generally he's hearing tonight and what you think.
Well, I think it's incredibly Islamophobic. Well, basically, this is what I want Jeff to say earlier.
Can you expand a bit on that being Islamophobic, Tom?
Well, basically, this is what I want you saying earlier, Jeff, when you said about the EU courts and about Sharia law. What you've got to remember as well is that in 1923, the League of Nations said that the Nazi Party has to be banned for its anti-democratic and anti-Jewish slurs.
Nice reminder.
Look what happened 10 years after that happened.
Yeah. Very, well, Tommy, what can I say? And Tommy's even expanded. He's gone back a bit later, you know. Well, 1923, did you say, Tommy?
Yeah, 1923, they banned the Nazi Party in Germany because of its anti-Jewish, anti-democratic ways. But then 10 years later, in 1933, what happens? They get into power.
Yeah, I know. It's just a crazy... It's crazy, isn't it, Tom? It's absolutely crazy.
Well, basically, I mean, when you look at it, Nazism is just European Islamism.
Yeah, good point,
that's
Tom. Well said.
Great point.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? Tommy, as I say, it's always a pleasure to... listen to your view. You know, we've had some really in-depth discussions tonight, and it's been really. I've enjoyed tonight. I've got to admit, I wasn't feeling 100% at the beginning of the evening, but once we start opening up a few things and a few articles that we've been discussing, the time just flows. Just reminded me we had about 7 minutes. But thanks, Tom, for your thoughts for the evening of the discussions what we've had. I was going to pass it back to
with this as well, there, Jeff.
Good, mate.
I know Kel was saying earlier about taking out of public school. So something happened to me today. Actually, I was taking my younger brother to school, and he says to me, "Tommy, can I ask you a question?" So I said, "What is it, mate?" "You know these Muslims who want to stone us?" So I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "What shall I say if one of them says to me today they're going to stone me?" So I said, "If a Muslim comes up to you today and says they're going to stone you, just say, 'Thank you, because weed's expensive these days.'"
Oh, God.
Well, there you go. That's a nice thing to be teaching your young brother there, Tommy.
Right. Do you know what? He's going to be a soldier like his granddad when he grows up, apparently.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy.
Kel likes that little drum thing going on there, don't you, Kel? But anyway, once again... I've got to say, Kel and Tim, Agador, who's a new member of our panel, he's just been like, you've always been a part of the panel there, Agador, you're fantastic. Fantastic to have you on board. this merry ship and around the round table as we've been tonight. And Tim, blunt your nails a little bit. You keep scratching that bloody table when you jump on it. You know, I'm showing that bloody table all day long, I do.
Is Tim jumping on tables?
Yeah, I'm giving this desk a bit of a pounding as we're talking, so, yeah. I don't know if it's going to stand up to the strain.
Well, perhaps somebody could explain the half-dead pigeon by the door.
Oh, don't ask him that. Tim, I'll just take it out after.
There you go.
Yeah, Tim, we love having you at the table. Just leave your snacks by the door. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Tim gets through that cat flap so easily these days, it seems. I don't know.
Yeah, he's very sleek on that diet he's on. I don't know. He's left off the
I don't know what he's doing for a workout, but he seems to get through that cat flap. Tim, golly gee. I swear, I don't know what diet you're on or what exercise you're engaging in, but, yeah, you just slink in and you're here. And, hey, good luck with dancing on that table.
well,
don't encourage him, Cal.
I hear of Muslims being chased out of Walsall by an Islamophobic cat, so...
Tommy.
But anyway,
well,
I'd like... No, I'd like to
made of Islamophobic, Aikido cats. I'm sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
Aikido cat?
I just probably literally end the show. Here's a tactic we could try, especially the Tea Fight in America for their Agador. Rather than us marching on the streets, why don't we get like about 500 pigs to walk through Bradford or Tower Hamlets or, you know, you got Detroit in America over there. Just get a load of pigs to do it. That'll soon get them running, won't it?
I will save that for tomorrow, Tommy, because I actually have a story very similar to that.
Whoa. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I've got to thank my panel, as I say, Kat Stranger, Mr. Tim Burton. Of course, we've got Tommy English, part of the team. We've got our very own producer, co-host, Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox Bogger tonight. Love to slay Trojan horses, and that's something that we elaborated on earlier on in the evening.
Yep.
So once again, guys, thank you so much. Great contribution, everybody, for the show this evening, and everybody sitting in the chat room. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here and supporting the show as you do, and of all our listeners out there, wherever you might be, whatever part of the world you might be, thank you so much for tuning in to the English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. So, guys, once again, I'm down to how many minutes I've got, Kel? I've got about 3 minutes.
You've got 2.5 minutes.
I've got 2.5 minutes, and I'm going to have that lady.
Take care. God bless. Have a great night. There you go, Jeff. I did it for you.
Okay. And with that, it's take care. Stay safe. God bless you all. Not forgetting from us all. Every single one of us is part of the panel this evening in the chat room. No surrender. No surrender.
Ever.
No surrender ever.
We're going
no
underground,
ever.
Guys. Good night, Chris. Good night, Kel.
Good night, Jeff. Happening here today, a show of strength with your boys brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. My new deal of pencils for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, just to tie it to dust. I'm going underground, going underground. What is the prospect for you? That's the power, going underground. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been up for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts.